Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to The Gathering, our monthly discussion show on Signs of Life Radio with Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and tonight's subject is we're going to be discussing a survey that we did, establishing and keeping a connection to our deceased loved ones. And lots to talk about, a lot of good participation in the survey. We're going to be talking about such things as how soon somebody received an after-death communication, you know, and if they did anything to keep them going and things like that. So,
interesting stuff.
Before we dive into it, I know there's a lot on your plate right now, so
let me share a few things with our listeners. We always want to remind them to check the website regularly for new events that are coming up as they form. That's foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And just to let our listeners know what else they might be missing that's coming up this month for free, actually, one just got canceled. We have our Palm Beach County, Florida Afterlife Discussion Group that was supposed to be on Saturday, but they've been evacuated because of Hurricane Matthew, so that's being canceled. But our Visionary Explorers group, which is also on Saturday at 2 p.m., that's online, and so that's going to continue taking place, and that is free. On October 15th, we have our Afterlife Discussion Group in Miami, Florida, and that's at 1 p.m., and that's free. I just want to mention that we do get a lot of emails saying most of our events are on the East Coast. Now, there are a lot of events are on the East Coast. That's because there are a lot of volunteers on the East Coast. Being a 100% volunteer organization, we can only have these events where we have volunteers. So if you're itching for an event, you're itching to help out with this big community of Forever Family Foundation, dive in, go to the volunteer page, let us know you want to help, and we'll start getting you rolling. This is a large organization. We've got over 10,000 members, and it takes a lot of volunteers to run it, so we'd love for you to join us. Just to let you know, our first annual mediumship convention is the weekend of November 11th through 13th, and this is another first of its kind. It's a convention totally dedicated to the world of mediumship, run by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, taught by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, and spirit communication conducted by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. Reservations can be made on our website, and as always, please keep in mind our no refund policy before making your reservations. I also want to mention that the hotel room block that has our special rate that includes a hot breakfast every morning, that will end on October 10th. So you've got to at least make your hotel room reservations. We've just added a Holidays Past event in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, with mediums Janet Nohavik and Joe Scheel on December 10th at 7 p.m. Yep, more East Coast volunteers. And our annual Holidays Past raffle is also up on our site. Please buy some chances to win one or more of 5 one-hour phone readings with Catherine Nadal, Heidi Jaffe, Tracy Lee Nash, Renata Santarelli, or Lee Ashley. And please, please, please help keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. Visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all the event links, information, and registration. And lastly, if you're a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631 425-7707. Back to you, Bob.
And thank you. And as I said, tonight we're going to be talking about what people think about keeping a connection to deceased loved ones going. We did a survey. We didn't keep it up for as long as some of the other surveys. We got, you know, pretty good response. I mean, we're well over, you know, 100 responses. And the first question was, have you ever experienced a communication from a person no longer in the physical? Not going to be a big surprise there, right? This is not we didn't run this in the Times, you know,
right.
It was on our website. So as you might expect, 90% said yes and 10% said no. I mean, it's good to see that there are some no's in there.
Sure. believers and
Well, or still open-minded and searching.
Yeah.
The second thing that we asked was a yes-no response, and there were several questions. One, you have to answer yes or no. There was no in-between. Do you think that after-death communication is possible? That was a real strong yes, you know, again, in that 90% range. Do you desire to have an after-death communication? That was 100%. A little bit surprising. Some people,
yeah.
I've talked to people that said they have no desire, you know, for that,
yeah.
Right? Haven't you?
I'd be scared or something like that.
I have my friends who are on the fence. They're not interested in.
Is it like Tom said, because of fear involved?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'll bet you my mom would say, no, I'm not interested.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So, but, you know, that's why it was a bit surprising that everybody said yes. Have you ever attempted to facilitate an after-death communication? That was pretty strong on the yes side. Not everybody, you know, but probably in the, you know, the 75% range. Do you think that the depth of one's grief affects the likelihood of receiving communication?
No. I mean,
I don't think.
No, I don't think that's a factor.
But I wonder what our respondents thought.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty much in between a yes and a no. You know, a bit surprising. Now, we hear a lot of the mediums will say when somebody asks why they haven't been able to communicate, and kind of a stock answer is that your grief is blocking it. Don't we hear that a lot?
We hear that a lot, and I think part of the explanation is they're in a different dimension where they don't have this grief emotion. And so when they're coming down into our space, they're feeling something that only we feel. And so now they're experiencing it. And then, sure, I can imagine that to be a block.
I think so, too. We saw that with your mother, Tom. I mean, we were getting signs galore, and we had to explain them to her, but she wasn't able to work her way. Her grief was so heavy.
Mm-hmm. I could also make the argument that in some ways it could enhance the communication, because if your loved one is seeing you in such terrible grief, there's going to be a sense of urgency, you know, I mean, I don't hate to put it in those terms, but a sense of urgency to get through. Mm-hmm. So maybe that feeling of grief in some cases is not a block.
Well, so now you're getting into the space where you're going to have to define the communication, because if they're going to send a feather or they're going to make the clock change to a certain time or they're going to play your favorite song on the radio, they don't have to come into our space to do that. So it doesn't matter about the grief. But if you're talking about direct communication where they will materialize before you or you'll have a tactile experience where they'll touch you or kiss you or something, then they're coming into our space.
Yeah, I think it might have more to do when we talk in terms of a block. It's more that it's kind of like a shield, so we don't notice the communications. You know, maybe the communications are coming, but we're too wrapped up.
I was thinking that too. That the feathers are there, the clock's doing this, but you're so wrapped up in your grief that you don't even
notice
know it.
Them. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. Another question, are you fearful of receiving communication from the deceased? And that was kind of an overwhelming no, almost not unanimous, but most people are not fearful. And
they say they're not fearful.
Right.
But we've also heard experiences where they want it, they want it, they want it, and then when they get it, they're like scared, they pull the blankets over their head or...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And the last question that we asked in that section was, do you think that cultural or religious beliefs might affect the communication?
Oh, I think we've seen that with some of our friends who are devout Catholics. It's like you can't even acknowledge it, even though you... I met a young lady. She told me everything she described to me sounded like she had mediumistic abilities, and she said her grandmother had it too, but can't go there. She's, not recognized in her church.
Kim Russo writes about that in her book,
too,
exactly that, where, she was brought up believing that she shouldn't be doing this stuff, but it was such an overwhelming pull to do it that she finally found a way to rationalize it in her mind and go forward with it. And that was a beautiful
Her grandmother
time.
Also encouraged her, I think, family members.
I think she had a grandmother who was, who had it as well. And so when she started to talk about it, that her grandmother was able to tell her what she was experiencing.
Well, and it's not only the religious beliefs, cultural, societal, factors enter into it. I was a bit surprised because there was a pretty strong no, that the people that don't think that it...
But we're preaching to the choir, too.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think people in grief want it. They want it, so they're going to...
Sure.
Yeah, that's going to be your answer.
We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we want to read some fascinating things that came through. We asked how long after the death of a loved one did you first receive communication from them? That's interesting. So stay with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and don't change the dial.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken, even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about a survey that we recently did on keeping the connection to deceased loved ones. Before we went to break, I mentioned we asked the question, how long after the death of a loved one did your first communication from them occur? And we got a tremendous number of responses. And of course, there's a big range. The first... some say it started immediately. One person actually said started while they were on life support.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting, you know, and not surprising, right? If you're already, you know, if your body is gone and you're
but not even gone. We see that with people who are still here in hospice, right? They're already crossing over. They're already talking to people on the other side, yet their bodies are still here. They're still cognizant of being here. They're straddling both worlds. So, yeah, that makes sense.
And then, you know, the overwhelming number was pretty quick. I'm just scrolling down, 7 months, 18 months, same day, 3 days in a month. Then again, 4 months, it started back up. 6 months, immediate, a few weeks, a week and a half, 4 months. 4 to 5 months, the day after, a few days later, a few hours, a few weeks, 2 hours. There's a lot of them. Of course, you know, some people said about 10 years. You know, I mean, there were a few that not many, but
you mean waited 10 years?
10 years before they had their first communication.
That they were aware of.
Yeah, but. I was just shocked at how many were in the first month, you know, same day, same week, you know, again, we were talking about that earlier, that there's that sense of urgency on the departed spirit to let you know they're okay.
The book Blue Island made that very clear, that there are a bunch of entities or souls who are waiting there for you to cross over and to assist you in getting that message to the people that you left in the physical world that you're okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just getting back to that person that said it started while her loved one was on life support. So theoretically then, there's no prerequisite that you have to die, you know, to send your consciousness to somebody else. I mean, I might be, you know, trying to communicate, you know, with Tom in California, and he might, you know, I can get my communication across, and similar to the way after death communication takes place, right? You might hear my voice. You know, if I was really talented, or gifted, I could send you an image. Or
remote viewing, out-of-body experiences, that all happens while we're still alive. And I must say, I believe that I got my first message from my father before he actually died.
He was in hospice, and we were having
He was in the city,
dinner.
And he had a stroke. He couldn't communicate physically at all.
Right.
And you know, he had a living will, so he was removed from life support, and they took him from Mount Sinai in Manhattan out to Port Jefferson on Long Island, which passed right by our house. You know, not right by our house, but it did. Our house was in between the two, and about the time that he would have been ambulanced down the expressway by near where we live, my car alarm just started going off, and I took that as a significant sign. I was with my mother and my brother and some friends at the time, and we all kind of looked at each other like, well, this is interesting.
Right, but see, that's the fortunate thing, is that you guys were open to this.
Mm-hmm.
Look how many people can't handle this whole, you know, this transitional cycle because they're not aware of this. Or they don't want to be, mm-hmm. or there's a religious stigma to it, or whatever it is, that if everybody were able to say, wow, he sent us, wow, that must have been so meaningful for you at that point to get that communication.
And I remember my mother, speaking of which, it's 6 years ago today that she passed, and before she knew she was terminal, and so for the weeks leading up to her passing, I made sure that every week I brought her fresh flowers that she'd have around. And the florist had a habit of putting a stick with a butterfly on the top. And my mother just thought that was great, the butterflies on the flowers. And then, as I say, she passed, well, you know, probably right around this time,
right.
6 years ago, and the very next day, I'm driving down in town of Huntington, not out in the country, in town. I come up to a stoplight, and a swarm of butterflies were in front of my windshield. Now, on Long Island in October, there are not a lot of butterflies still around. So for that to happen,
aren't a lot of flowers.
Yeah, so I found that was significant, and that was the next day. So it can't happen.
I get into trouble when I try to rationalize these things because I was in a quandary because I'm reading through all these things and how many come right away, you know, to, you know, communications like we just read off. And then I always espouse the view that I think that we need help on the other side, that why should we think that we know how to communicate or get a message through just because we died, that we need assistance, you know, maybe there's mediums on the other side or guides or whatever it is. So, you know, because how do you rationalize somebody sitting out there, okay, so it's been took 10 years to get their first communication, but some people never get them, and other people, you know, it's immediate. So the way I rationalize it is perhaps when you first cross over and there is that sense that you desperately, you know, want to get a message through, that there we do have these helpers or guides that get that message, you know, through for us, and they say, okay, this one's on me, you know. Uh-huh. Now you have to develop these skills, you know, and do this on your own, you know. There'll be others to help you, but maybe there's some, because of that that importance of letting the loved ones know, you know, maybe that's, there are people, well, listen, maybe there are people or entities on the other side. That's their only purpose, to get that quick message through.
You know, when we often refer to the Testimony of Light, that book, I don't think that was touched upon other than the whole book was dictated by Spirit, but I cannot recall how recently she had passed when she started to communicate. Oh. We'll have to go back to that.
Yeah, she does mention it, though, at the beginning during the the preface or...
Yeah, we'll have to check on that.
It's easy to say, you know, and we've had that question posed to us a lot, and I'm sure you have at the various events, you know, and people would destroy it, and you say, wait, you know, how come, you know, I mean, it's been... You know, it's been a long time, and certainly we had tremendous love for my loved one, and they loved us, and why haven't I not been? But you can also think of it in a different way. Maybe that's part of the plan. You know, maybe you're, you know, that's just another challenge. I mean, we have these physical challenges every day that we have to overcome, mm-hmm. and you could say that's part of our growth process. You know, maybe not getting the communication for 10 years is... part of the plan, you know, why not? So
nobody's done a personality psychological study on people who get signs versus people who don't. You know, it's
well,
not
they have
simple,
been. They have
yeah,
been studies, yeah,
it's not as simple as I'm a believer, I'm not a believer. Right. It goes way deeper than that.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's plenty of stories that we've heard here, people calling in don't believe, and yet they tell this story of what else could it be kind of thing. Well, you know, why am I, you know, and we say, well, you've had a visit, you know, and they say, I don't believe in that. Well, you've had one.
it does make me feel bad when I talk to those who are grieving, you know, kind of with such an assuredness. I mean, I don't really have any right to do that, but I'm just so believe that it's almost like, well, of course, that's what it is. Whereas some you folks, and even Dave Kane, he's so gentle about it that he presents the information in such a way that it's almost like they are realizing it, coming up with it on their own, versus someone just telling them, well, that's what it is.
Right.
So I admire that ability.
And part of it is not to be looking for the big, you know, the skies opening up, that it is more subtle. I, you know, my mom's the case too, which on the video, there was a night she was sitting in her chair and she was awoken and there was my dad kneeling by her mm-hmm. chair, looking up at her with a big smile on his face, looking much younger. And
a glow, she said, was all around him.
And she, you know, she knew at the time that she was being visited, but a month later she goes, but now, you know, why doesn't he come back? You know, I want that
never
again.
Never enough. It's never
and
enough.
And then we tell her about, well, you know, look at the little things, you know, the pennies, the flour, you know, the different things. So that's, she was fortunate to have that experience, to actually see him. But, you know, that is not something that always, you'll always get. And, you know, you get the little things, the song on the radio and that. And I've told this story a number of times, but his songs were in the realm. I'm talking about my dad before he passed, getting the alarm to go off. But the day he passed, you know, we were with my mom comforting her, and we decided to get Chinese food for dinner. And I was driving up this street that was two lanes that was going into one, and this SUV comes charging past me so that he could get in front of me before the lanes charged, and his license plate said Lifetime. And I just thought, wow, a lifetime just went zipping by. And then, not over yet, we bring the Chinese food home, we have the dinner, and of course after the dinner with Chinese is you have fortune cookies, and there was one fortune cookie that was empty.
The bag was sealed and nothing was in it. We still have that.
Yeah. So, you know, things like that, you would say, oh, well, that probably happens, but does it happen at that time
to that person?
And it never happened again.
It never happened again?
Or before.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So that's where you have to you have to have a little faith.
I guess the question is, is an after-death communication necessary to feel connected to your loved one? Can you feel connected without ever having what we would classify as an after-death communication?
I hope so.
I don't. The answer to that is, well, it sure doesn't hurt, I guess, you know.
Right.
But I think you can still have that sense. There's nothing tangible.
But isn't the
tangible.
Sense an after-death
communication? Yeah.
The sense, you could say that. Just that overwhelming
that is,
feeling.
And because you can't brush that off as, you know, so that is what it is.
Right.
That's them coming into your space and letting you know that they're around.
we asked, is there anything that you did that you believe made the connection possible? I want to know what we can learn from each other, what people did.
Great question.
A lot of people did a lot of different things. I'll just read them off, forgiveness first, then tried to contact via EVP in a place full of this person's energy. She went into a place where I guess that person was lighted, turned on the recorder. Forgiveness first, I guess, it kind of set the tone.
It was something amiss between the two?
I was in a bad state. My mother appeared to me in a dream to let me know she understood what was going on. Everything was all right, and I was okay. Taking intuitive development and always having a connecting with spirit helped knowing how to ask for signs and messages. She went the other route,
That's what we advocate here. Yeah. I mean, trying to learn to open yourself up and continue the relationship, intuitive development works, and that's why we're having this fabulous convention in November. Is for that. It's not just for people who are mediums who want to tone up their skills. It's for people who need to open up and learn how to extend that relationship and keep that relationship going with their loved ones.
We always talk about, not trying to force it to happen. This person said, I simply desired to make contact and trusted that it will come when it was right. And then I went about my routine.
That's healthy.
The first time I spontaneously asked him a question and got an unexpected answer. Later, for some reason, I began asking if there was any help that I needed and having believable messages appear in my mind. Sometimes the answers seem to appear and others seem to be my creations. I consider the difference to indicate the former were communication. So he approached it logically, and I think that's, even the mediums would say, especially when they first started, that sometimes they did not know for sure that these were messages from spirit as opposed to their own conscious thoughts or imagination, and certainly as in grief, we're all susceptible to that. Yeah. Some people take it to an extreme like I did, and then you just question everything, even when it hits you in the face. But, others have a very logical and healthy attitude about it. Another person says, I followed my intuitions. I just kept talking to him like he was there, asking him what happened while I was crying. I read a lot about the afterlife. I talked to my departed loved ones daily. That's something that is common, I think, in all the books, just...
Keep talking to them.
Whether you do it verbally or... I thought, just keep talking to them.
This is opening the lines of communication. If you show that you're conversant and want to communicate, then your chances are better.
And then as Tom's saying that, the next one is, I was open to the communication. Stop doing that.
What I think the difference is, some people think that opening the communication is pleading with the person on the other side to come through rather than engaging them in a conversation. And there's a huge difference there.
That's right. Rather than pleading, you just talk like they're there.
Well, this person did say they got the messages in dreams and during meditation, the two biggies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to bring up meditation. Yeah. We always encourage that, whether, for communication or just in life in general. Meditation.
And medication.
And very helpful.
Certain medication.
It's simply a letter herbs. That's different.
Herbs.
Simply open to the possibility. Put it out to the universe that I welcome such contact at any time.
That's good.
It was not intentional on my part. It was early morning. I was not quite awake. I believe the frame of mind was critical, but it startled me. I became very alert and lost the connection. Okay, so...
It's a good example.
State
of mind.
And you can... People describe that often, they make the connection, and then all sorts of thoughts and fears and stuff start pouring in, and then before you know it...
Your gets in the way.
Yeah. I focused on trying to communicate. My desire to contact him was very strong. I thought about and spoke to him in my thoughts in bed before I fell asleep. I asked him if he heard me, and I was listening. I felt his presence that night. She was asking a lot. As it goes on, she was asking more specific questions. This person says, "I'm a nun of 50 years. Daily meditation, awareness, and contact of the spiritual realm. Love bonds the relationships. Perhaps they made an effort from their side to contact me." So,
I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
"I would sit with my brother, mostly telling him how I felt and missed him. A gathering of friends lifted my spirit so that when I asked for communication, I got it. And was told that I was too deep in my grief earlier to hear communication."
That was what we were talking about before.
And maybe it was Joe Kane who brought this up.
Dave Kane.
Joe Kane's a friend of mine. So was Dave Kane, for that matter. And the point was, is if you are on the other side, and it takes as much as you know from mediums, they have to raise their energy. Well, the energy on this side, they have to lower their energy to be able to come and communicate. And that's a lot of work. And are you going to want to go down to where people are having fun in a party? Are you going to want to go down where people are crying and miserable?
Mm.
And so that's, you know, when Dave Kane
drawn to.
Says, you know, at the holidays, don't, you know, somebody, a lot of people, the holidays is that people say, well, I used to decorate the house for the holidays, and since my loved one is gone, I don't even do that anymore. And they say, no, do it, because they want to come and see that you're, you know, still full of life, and, you know, that you're enjoying the life that you still have, and they enjoy vicariously with you.
I think if people are inclined not to celebrate, they should create some kind of new celebration that includes honoring the person who's no longer with them and make it almost a unique...
A different question.
Yeah.
If they can. Some people can't.
I know, and you know what? Maybe if somebody's close to somebody who can't, help them. Help them by showing up with a gift for that person who's passed and talk about the memories, because we do have a member who said that at the holidays the other family members won't even mention the name of the deceased,
right.
And it's heartbreaking for her. And I thought she seems capable of it, a little reluctant to, but capable in her a process of grief at this point to possibly bring up the name of her loved one and share a memory and maybe encourage others to share a memory too.
Right.
But I know it's a lot easier to just say that than when you're actually in that situation.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too, that we're casually or, you know, I wouldn't say, well, maybe for me, somewhat flippantly just throwing these things out. And that it's easy to say,
exactly.
But it's so hard when you're in the middle of it. And
sure.
We understand that, and it's not going to be like a light switch, but it's, you know, it's the baby steps towards recovery.
We're going to go to a break. We come back, there's lots more. We're going to read the responses and talk about it, so stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about establishing and keeping a connection to our deceased loved ones. Wanted to make sure I got through some of the other things before we go on with the things that people did. One question we asked was, what was the frequency of your after-death communication with this particular person? And the answers were it happened only once. It happens rarely, it happens occasionally, it happens frequently, or there's no response. The biggest 30% were it happens occasionally. Yeah. We had almost 13% where it only happened once. They had one, you know, after-death communication, and that was it. 11% said it happens rarely, and 16.5% said it happens frequently. So you have a sizable number of people there. Did you find that your after-death communications diminished with the passage of time? What, you think that the majority is going to be yes or no?
They might stop looking, and then when they pause to think about it.
I would say yes. They're going to say yes.
It diminished.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that answered, the more of them said yes, did diminish. But it wasn't overwhelming. You know, 39% said yes, and 31% said no, you know, and then the rest didn't.
I'm just thinking if you work through that grief process and you're starting to be a little more okay, you might just not be as searching. Maybe you just have the faith that they're with you, and then you...
But that's the other, the flip side of that is if you realize that they are there and around and part of your life still, I feel that it's more so because I communicate or, you know, I say, oh, you know, let's make this happen or something like that. And then, oh, that was fun. You know, let's try this kind of thing.
But isn't that what it's all about? I mean, if you, besides the hokey pokey, if your thought process while you're communicating with them here and you keep doing it and it becomes routine, then you've changed the way you're thinking and your mind now is accepting of something that the physical world doesn't permit you to have. So now you have it.
Yeah.
So isn't that the way it works?
I hope so, yeah.
By using your mind to get you into that space of making this routine. That's what meditation is. When you say, I'm going to start meditating, you don't just sit down and say, okay, I'm meditating, and you have this great meditation.
Right.
You have to teach your body how to meditate. Same thing.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I'll reiterate that it's a very subtle process. And I have to look back like 10 years and say, you know, what was my frame of mind 10 years ago, and what is it now since I've been going down this path? And I can see the change. But if you say, you know, oh, hey, last month you said you saw something, and now how do you feel? And it's like, well, I guess I, you know, you don't know. You don't know that you're actually progressing. You just have to do it, and progression comes, and it's slow.
I think there's a practical reason why people get less communication as time goes on, and that if these other realms have so much more opportunity and things to do,
yeah.
I mean, if you can thought travel and go to other universes, and if you can go visit other realms. You know, maybe the, and plus the fact that you know that this physical existence is just a little, you know, blip, you know, you don't have to hover over your loved ones constantly.
True.
Yeah. And it's not to call it a downer, but it is lowering your vibration. Why would you even want to?
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, the message is, one message that my father got through a medium was that, you know, everything happens here. It's like a jet airplane. Everything happens so fast, and it's just, you know, it's fantastic, and it's, you know, just, you know, the last reading I got, they said, just wait till you get here, you won't believe it, and that's, yeah, exactly what you're saying, and what we said earlier is you're in the physical for a variety of reasons, and one of them is to learn things, and if you're taking a test in school, and somebody's standing over your shoulder telling you all the answers, you're not learning anything. So your loved one is going to stand back and say, well, no, you've got to learn this on your own. This is a life lesson for you. I could step right in and make everything wonderful, but, you know, then you wouldn't grow and you wouldn't learn. So
yeah, I think it's really cool that your dad can communicate to you on a level that says, wow, this is so fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait till you get here, because you would understand. He knows you would understand what he's talking about, but somebody who's newly bereaved, who's never had any kinds of communication, you know, their deceased loved one isn't going to come across that way.
Right.
Because, you know,
you wouldn't believe it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this couldn't possibly be true. What are you talking about?
And also the messages that people get that their loved, your loved one on the other side isn't sad and missing you, because that's just not how it works. You're here in the physical set and missing them. They're with you, they love you, but they're not moping around.
Right.
Well, because they're not missing you.
They've changed. You haven't lost anybody. I'm still here.
Yeah, right.
Put your hand down, right?
That's right.
We asked people just to respond to this with a true and false. Setting one's intention by asking my deceased loved one to communicate is important. you might guess it was kind of an overwhelming yes to that one. There was a question, we addressed this before, a deep grief acts as a block to the deceased in reaching us with their messages. That was kind of split between yes and no. There comes a point when those in the spirit world no longer communicate with the physical world. Right?
That was a yes or no?
Well, it was true or false. So, actually, it was overwhelmingly false, the people said, that there is no point when they stop communicating.
Right.
With you.
Well, I think it's more of a, I don't think there's ever, like, a stop of communication. It's as we just said, there's other things to do over there that,
right,
and we'll be there soon enough, kind of thing.
Our loved ones in spirit continue to be part of our lives here. As you might guess, that was 100% yes.
Yes.
Once our loved ones reincarnate, we can no longer communicate with them.
Ah, good topic.
I've heard this discussed, and I've heard that because of this thing about splitting your soul, and you could be different places.
First, I'll tell you that the answer that people gave is that that's false.
Oh.
Okay.
And overwhelmingly, they said that, which was surprising to me.
I'm surprised, too.
We have an educated group.
Yeah, I know, because
it's really
logically makes
me.
Sense. That, that spirit's in another body.
And that's the biggest worry that we hear in emails and phone calls is, well, what if they reincarnate and I'm not going to be able to see them again?
Yeah.
That's the first thing that they ask.
Right.
So we've got a great educated group.
And the question is, which we were talking about, if you do reincarnate, then theoretically a medium should be able to communicate with your past life. Why not? The person that you were before.
Yeah, but the past life is a physical life. The soul is the soul is the soul.
Yeah.
Whether it's in this dimension or 16 other dimensions.
Well, the personality of that soul. It's the personality that survived.
Okay, but if I was I don't know, JFK in a previous life, my personality will be totally different than who I am now. So if they're going to communicate with that, they're not going to recognize me.
Right. Well, you can't validate anything. It doesn't mean that they still might be communicating. Sometimes maybe when a medium's getting information, it's not making sense. They're communicating with
their point.
Or you're communicating with you, and, well, yesterday you were wearing a different shirt, but I can still communicate with you. It's just what you're wearing at the time.
True. Uh-huh. So, the one statement, there are many different realms in the spirit world. That was an overwhelming yes.
Good.
True. Communication with the dead is something to be feared. That was an overwhelming false.
Okay.
Self-judgment plays a role in our afterlife existence. True or false?
I think it's true.
I would say it's true.
A life review.
It was towards the true side, but there was still some
confusion there. Yeah.
Our actions in the physical world affect our lives after physical death. It was more towards the true side, not 100%, but I think it would be interesting if we were able to, and I wouldn't know how to do it, to do these surveys for the general public, versus this audience, and to measure. But we might be shocked.
Sit in a mall, sit at an amusement park, a little table, invite people over to answer the questions.
But again, you're still segmenting the population, because if you're in a mall, let's say in the greater New York area, you're going to get a different response than if you're in a mall in Utah.
True. Our ambassadors need to be outfitted.
Yeah, we need to get more ambassadors out there.
All right, Fran, it's all yours.
Okay, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Trevor McKinney, Ginger Quinlan, Alex Hanna, Vince Mataya, Isabel Ginsberg, Joan Lipke, Diane Archangel, Doreen Malloy, James Rafferty, Fred Feinstein, Matt Mello, Donna Mello, Marianne Pierzga, David Hayes, Michael Tim, Glenna Irwin, Stanley Irwin, and Stanley Mullen, sorry, and Karen Gould. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
Science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.